I tackled a heavy class load, became an EMT, selected a college, worked a job, ran track and cross country, and volunteered at AWCC. While all of these experiences are undeniably important, I must say that I spread myself thin. It was hard to feel present and to really take in the moments. While I tried to plan out my days in order to make them run smoother, I found that it only distracted me more from what was happening right in front of me. I was so busy, and then my friend experienced a life-altering tragedy. My world instantly stopped. I dropped things, rearranged schedules, and ultimately slowed things down. While I took time away from other commitments to be sad, my soul felt as though all it was needing was and craving was time to be present with my friend, my emotions, and God. Recently, at one of my dinners with my friends, with my friend's family, we all crammed into the living room, sisters, brothers, friends, grandmas, husbands, etc., all came together. I sat on a vent, Teo sat smashed against a wall, and some people just remained standing. That moment is one of my favorites. Everyone came near and far to listen, to mourn, and to tell stories, and to most of all be present. When I was in that room, I undoubtedly felt the Holy Spirit. And to top it all off, my friend's grandfather closed out the dinner by saying that we need to stop with all the busy. We need to take time to be with God and to be with one another. While I know it's easy to get wrapped up in life, it is even easier to unknowingly reject God. And it shouldn't take someone's death for us all to stop and be with each other and to be with God. In the story of Martha and Mary, Martha wasn't bad for being busy. However, she shows us just how easy it is to lose sight of God when tasked with a heavy workload. In closing, I would just like to thank you all one more time and encourage you to prioritize being present with the Lord, no matter what chapter or season you are in your life or in your faith. And as always, he's always there in both the good and bad times. So if you just prioritize being present, he'll reach out because he's always there for you. Amen.
Okay. That was the sermon for the day. We can all go home. But all right. And this is, so some of you might not know Teo, so we're going to take a minute to introduce Teo. Teo and Avery are dating, and Teo has been faithfully coming on Wednesday nights, helping with our kids. The kids adore Teo, and he's been a real gift in serving and coming to youth events and being a part of the youth at AWCC. So if you, I know you might not know him well, but as you could see, his schedule was very full. He was a very busy guy, and so we're grateful for you, Teo. And so now I'm going to ask you the same questions. Where did you go to high school?
So I went to Golden High School with Avery.
And
Warren Tech as well, and I was doing the aircraft maintenance program there.
Perfect. And then where are you going to school and what are you going to study?
So I'm also going to Utah State University for mechanical engineering and Air Force ROTC. But the goal kind of is, because of my knee injury this year, if you don't know, I couldn't go to one of the service academies this year. So hopefully only going there for 1 year and then reapplying and going to one of those service academies after that.
Awesome. Well, can you share with us?
All right, so I'm going to tell just like kind of a little story about me. So have you ever been running full speed towards what looks like to be an open door, only to have it suddenly slam shut on you right in front of you? Sometimes in life, we see an opportunity, we work towards it for years, and we think the path ahead is completely clear. Then suddenly something changes, and that door we were running towards closes. And that is actually something that came to me pretty early in life. So,
Teo is in the green.
Yeah, I'm in the green.
All right, Ash, you can stop that.
So, as you can see, at that time, I thought I was running towards an open path. Instead, I ran straight into a window. But as funny as that video is now, life sometimes feels a lot like that moment. You think you see the path clearly, you run towards it with everything you have, and suddenly you realize it is not as open as it looked. So for me, that path has been aviation. Ever since I watched Top Gun Maverick, becoming a military pilot has been my goal. Although the goal has changed slightly over time, the attraction to flying with the best pilots there is, with the camaraderie you get nowhere else, all while doing a mission that affects people small or big, has been my biggest interest. And over the last few years, I've begun working towards that goal as seriously as I could. I've started working towards my private pilot license, and last year I put in applications to all the service academies, so I've been really putting everything I could into that goal. And for a while, it felt like everything was moving exactly the way I expected it to, but then the path started getting a little more complicated. Along the way, there were several challenges that I did not expect. There were countless complications and delays in working towards my private pilot license, and the applications required months of preparation, and it quickly became the hardest and most demanding thing I've ever done. And this past winter, I suffered an ACL injury that made me unable to attend one of the service academies this year, and that effectively made all the work I had done for those applications worthless for this year. Although I learned a lot about like the application process, which will definitely help a lot next year, but yeah, it definitely, like, there was 10 plus interviews and all these things, and it just kind of felt like it was worthless after having to close those applications on my own. Mm-hmm. And each of those moments felt like another door closing. When something like that happens, it is easy to assume that the dream itself might be over, but during that time, I kept coming back to this quote from the Dalai Lama. It says, if you can do something about a situation, why worry? And if you can't do something about a situation, why worry? So that idea really forced me to think differently about my setbacks. Instead of focusing on the doors that had closed, I started thinking about the paths that might still exist. And closing one path does not always mean the destination disappears. And one of those moments that really made this clear happened just last Sunday. I was doing a solo cross-country flight from Rocky Mountain Airport to Fort Morgan. So that was one of my first, actually, like, by myself in the airplane flights to a different airport, which is over 50 miles away. And a lot of people just imagine that you just fly, like, especially because you're an airplane, you can just go up in there and fly straight towards your destination. But it is not like that at all. You have to change course for other airplanes that are out there. You have to change course for different kind of airspaces. So like the Denver International Airspace, it extends really far out. It's kind of weird to imagine, but on a map, it actually extends like 100 miles out. So you have to avoid all that airspace. And you never really fly in a straight line from point A to B. And we constantly adjust for wind, weather, airspace, and other aircraft. The destination stays the same, but the route often has to change. And during that flight, I had to change my route several times. I adjusted altitude and direction to avoid traffic in certain airspace areas. And even though the path kept changing, the destination never did. Eventually, I still did reach Fort Morgan. And the flight made me realize that the connection that life works in a very similar way to how I flew that flight. And so me, Avery, and Jess have been working with childcare, and she recently gave me a devotional book. And one of the entries that really stood out to me was where it talks about in the Bible where when Peter tells Jesus that he's ready to follow him anywhere, but in John 13:37-38, Jesus responds in a way that shows Peter does not yet understand the full path ahead of him. The devotional explains something that is simple but powerful. Sometimes faith requires waiting for God's guidance instead of trying to force our own timeline. Mm. And that message really stuck with me because when some of my plans started falling apart, I realized that something important, just because my plan had changed does not mean God's plan has stopped. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God closes one path not to stop us, but to guide us somewhere we could not yet see. Mm-hmm. And even though this story is about aviation, the lesson is not about flying. It is about what we do in life when our plans not go how we want them to. Every person in this room will or has experienced moments where something they work towards suddenly changes. A career path may shift, a goal may take longer than expected, an opportunity may disappear. When those moments happen, it is easy to assume the dream itself is gone, but often the destination has not changed. The path simply just looks a little different. Mm-hmm. The real question is whether we keep moving forward or decide to stop trying. A closed door does not always mean the journey is over. Sometimes it simply means God is guiding you towards a different direction. And the destination God has prepared for you is not determined by how straight the road is, but by whether you keep walking.
Mm. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Teo. Okay, and last, but certainly not least, we've got Miss Nora Wallace. All right. Nora, where did you graduate?
I graduated from Arvada West High School this past Thursday.
So she's really done. These two are like, they're going. Their graduation's a little later. Okay, and where are you going to school and what are you studying?
I'm going to Colorado Christian University to study business administration and management.
I love it. And then can you share a little with us about your faith journey and anything you want to share with us?
Yeah. So I wanted to share just the biggest like lessons that I've learned in my faith, especially over my high school years, because my years of high school are the years that I really started getting a more in-depth relationship with God, a more personal relationship with God, being able to see how important my faith is. It's not just you go to church every Sunday and you pray before dinner. It's like, it's a lifestyle. It's something that should lead all of your decisions and everything you do. The first lesson that I really started to learn in my faith that got me to a deeper point is the importance of sharing the gospel. In the Bible, the Great Commission says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." And that is a literal command. He says so, it's like, I'm commanding you to go out into the world and to share the gospel. And I started learning this my freshman year. I started going to youth group that really started equipping me to share the gospel. And I started out sharing with my friends at school. I shared the gospel with one of my best friends. And I love her so much. And she didn't know the Lord. And just this... And 2 years ago, our sophomore year, I got the opportunity to baptize her, which was just such a beautiful full circle moment. And just sharing the gospel with classmates and people. I shared the gospel on the whiteboard desks in my math class, just things like that. You don't know what the Lord is doing in their lives, but being able to follow God's command and share it in the first place is such a beautiful thing. And I also learned this through starting to go on missions trips. Starting my sophomore year, I went to South Texas. I got to go with Grace, my sister. And that was such a cool experience because you get to see a lifestyle and a way people live that you've never seen before. And it's just, and how set apart our lifestyle is here than from most of the world. And it just really opened my eyes. And a standout moment from that trip is when I got to share the gospel with this man. He was doing construction on a house down in South Texas. It was so hot. It was like 115 degrees. That doesn't have anything to do. I just remember that. So I was with my missions team, and I got to share the gospel with this man, and we were just going door to door and sharing, and he was just outside and doing construction. And I remember him saying, after we asked, is there anything that's holding you back from putting your faith in Jesus? And he said, I'm just too bad. He's like, I've done so many bad things, and I don't think I deserve to be able to have that gift of Jesus. And it's just the beautiful thing of being able to tell him, well, none of us deserve Jesus. And the beautiful thing is Jesus died so that people like you who feel like we're too bad can be forgiven and can have the gift of Jesus. And he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior that day. And it's just so amazing to be able to see things like that just throughout sharing the gospel. And I went to Guatemala last year with similar experiences, and it was just beautiful. And the second lesson that has been a big part of my faith journey, especially throughout all the things going on in high school, just such a busy season. There's so much going on all the time, which is nice in a way, but it's also super overwhelming. And I had a hard time balancing everything that I was doing and trying to do as good as I can without idolizing my activities over spending time with Jesus. And I was really brought to the verse Philippians 4:6, which says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind towards Jesus Christ. Learning to pray about everything, be constant in prayer, is another verse that's in Romans, has really changed my life. And being able to talk to God about everything, like, he's your father, but Jesus is also your friend and wants to know what's going on in your life. So praying about everything, just praying in my head and praying when I go on walks and praying before bed, about anything that's going on in that day, anything that I have in my mind, that's been a big lesson that I've learned of. That is the best way to deal with things that are going on in your life. And you can't handle everything, but God can handle everything and knows what's going to happen. I've just loved being able to get to know Jesus better throughout my high school years and learn and grow in my fluency in the gospel. And yeah, so thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm so grateful for these guys. As you can see, they are rooted. They're growing these deep roots in their faith. And we are exceptionally proud of you guys. Like, we can't say it enough. Pastor Nathan and I have only been here for 2 years, and we're exceptionally proud of you. So you can only imagine how your parents are feeling and how your siblings who look up to you are feeling. And so we just want you guys to know that. Or Grace. Grace is like the siblings you look up to, and Teo's brothers. So, Lord, I'm going to pray for these guys, and then we're going to have them have a seat, and we're going to have another time of prayer at the end of service before we send everybody out. But I'm going to say a quick prayer just for you guys. So join me in prayer, guys. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Avery and for Teo and for Nora. Thank you for the seeds of faith planted in their lives and how they've grown. Thank you for the work that you're continuing, Lord, that this is just the beginning of a journey, Lord, that there's so much more ahead. Lord, thank you for their desire to see you, and that in hardships, Lord, they've seen you directing their path, not necessarily in that straight line, Lord, but always aimed towards you. So Jesus, as we continue at this service, I pray that you would help them to continue to sit and rest and abide with you and hear words of encouragement that they can carry with them into this next season. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the work you've done and the work you're doing in these three wonderful human beings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks, guys. I'm going to invite you guys to, you guys can have a seat for a little bit, and then we're going to come back up in a few, okay? All right. I feel like literally I could, like we could leave right now, and you all had a really beautiful word of the Lord. So I just have a short word to share with us, to encourage us and to remind us of the work that God is doing in and through each of us. We have beautiful examples in these three, in different walks and experiences and backgrounds, and their worlds are different, but God was doing something in each of them. And they didn't get there by accident, right? There's people all through this room that have been invested in the lives of these young people. Lord, we are so privileged. Join me in prayer. Lord, we're so privileged to be here today. And as we dig into your word, I pray that you would be present with us, Lord. Let us be encouraged by your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Okay, we're reading from 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. Okay, read with me. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When you spoke of the things that have preached the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to do these things. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, you can have a seat. Obviously, what I had written down, I had missed a sentence. So I was like, wait a minute. So this continues our series on Peter, but there were some significant things that stood out to me in this passage. First, Peter's talking about the prophets who were talking, they were predicting the Messiah. And we know that the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament is hundreds of years, right? There's hundreds of years between the time that prophecies were being made and they were being fulfilled. So these prophets are saying these things and people are waiting. You say something, you anticipate it happening. But Peter highlights that the prophets were predicting the coming salvation, but they weren't doing it for themselves. Twice, Peter says, the beginning, those who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, not to themselves, is to come to you. And then later he says, they're not serving themselves, but they were serving you. So the prophets were not there giving these words for themselves. The prophets were pouring in to the future. They were pouring in to something that was to come. Now, that's a hard thing. I think of Teo's story about closed doors, about the path. Have you ever had a time when you were anticipating something happening and it just didn't happen? You were hopeful for something, and it didn't come to pass. Or something as simple as you are staring at a pot of water that you really want to boil because you're hungry, or your kids are hungry, and you're like, I really need this to be done. But nothing's happening at the rate that you anticipate. I imagine, you know, a science experiment gone wrong, you know, the classic volcano experiment where there's baking soda and you pour the vinegar, But what you didn't realize is your baking soda was expired, so no chemical reaction happens. Okay, sometimes we're anticipating things that aren't happening at the rate that we want them to happen. In our family, one of the best examples is when we're at an elevator, when there's like, imagine like, oh, there's two elevators there. We were just at the doctor the other day, and we stand and somebody picks one, and then we go, and now, and now, and now, hoping the door is going to open. One of us hoping that we'll be right on time. Just for fun, just trying to find the right timing of the door. But it doesn't usually pan out that way, right? It doesn't always go according to our plan. We've got this idea of how something's going to happen, and it doesn't go the way we mapped it out. You have to take a detour on a road trip, so it went from 2 hours to 3 hours. How often in our world do we get inconvenienced by things taking longer than we want them to? How many of us use Amazon Prime? It's not just Amazon, guys. We can't just order it and wait a few days. We're like, we need this in 12 hours. So I'm going to order it today, and I ordered something yesterday that is at my house now. Right? Like, we live in a world that's saying, make your plan, follow it, it's all going to work out. It's all going to happen. But the prophets didn't have that. The prophets had to wait and actually never see the thing that they were hoping for come to pass. They never saw it. There are things in our life that we've invested in that we may never see come to pass. How many of us had grandparents pray for us? Yeah. How many of us have had the support of somebody else when we were sowing our wild oats, when we were doing our own thing? We had people investing and praying that may have never seen the fruit of their investment. See, these prophets, they came to the realization that what they were doing was not for their sake. It was for the sake of someone else. Someone they may never meet. Someone who may never even know the love of Jesus. And that's a hard reality. The prophet's response to the call of God was obedience. That was the only thing. So I'm going to go to my favorite passage when it comes to ministry. If you have done anything in children's ministry, you've heard this before. It's 1 Corinthians 3. So if you want to turn your Bible, feel free to turn there. This passage guides me in life because it reminds me that it's not about me. Because Paul's writing a letter to the church in Corinth, and there's a little bit of bickering happening. Not that that ever happens in churches. We agree on everything all the time. Awesome, all the time. But that's okay, because even the early church, they were having disputes, okay? They had to follow an oral tradition. They didn't get to reach under the seat and grab a Bible or open an app on their phone and have a Bible. They didn't have that privilege. We are very privileged to have access to Scripture this way. So they were leaning on the building of the Bible, and they listened to teachers. And so there was a little dispute happening over who was listening to who. So this is 1 Corinthians 3, 4 through 9. When one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Paul knew his job. His job wasn't to collect a following. His job wasn't to make sure everybody knew his name. His job was to point people to the love of Jesus. His responsibility was to plant seeds and to water seeds, and then not to stand and stare at them and wait for it to grow. You plant and you water, and you acknowledge and recognize that responsibility for growth is not on us. It's not on us. Nora said it well when she talked about there was something happening, the story of the construction worker. Something was happening in his life. God was doing something. And he responded. She would write things on the board, the math whiteboards in her classroom, because you don't know what God is doing. These students are incredible examples of people who have planted and watered seeds. They've planted and watered seeds by how they lived, by the words they said, by Avery's willingness to pause and be with a grieving friend. That was planting seeds and watering seeds in a world that needs Jesus. What seeds are we planting? The Bible makes it clear there's a few places, it's all over the Bible, but there's a few key places that we can lean into and go, okay, what seeds do I want to plant? I think of planting love, joy, peace, patience. You see where I'm going? We've got the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. We can plant all of those things. And you know, at the end of the fruits of the Spirit, it says, against these things, there is no law. We can plant love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Did I miss one? Faithfulness. Thank you. I should have just sang the song. And then we've got commandments from Jesus, right? We've got the command to go. But Jesus told us the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. We can plant seeds of love. We can plant seeds of joy and of peace and of grace and of self-control. We can plant seeds of hope, because that's what Jesus brings us. Jesus brings us seeds of hope, and we get to plant and water those seeds of hope in the world. Guys, the prophets knew. They knew that the work they were doing was not for them. It was for the sake of the world. It was for the sake of the person coming after us. And I think a lot of times it's easy in the church to want to see results. What are the results? Jobs are results-based, right? But when it comes to speaking and living out our faith, we're not looking for results. We're looking to plant and water seeds. We're looking to be faithful to the word of God, the call for all of us. We don't have to question our call to the fruits of the Spirit, to loving our neighbors, to pausing and loving God, to even sharing the gospel with the world. We don't have to question if we're supposed to do that. We don't go, maybe. No, that is a command for us to do. And so as we consider where we're planting and watering, I want us to Also consider being wise about not planting weeds, about not planting things we don't want to water. And that takes intentionality. I want to challenge us, church, to also consider where we've sown in our own lives seeds of fear and seeds of insecurity and of doubt. We need to weed those things out. Any good gardener knows that you have to weed your garden. I hate weeding the garden, guys. I love to garden. I hate weeding so much. But if we don't weed our garden, the good things get taken over. And so as we're planting and watering seeds around us, we also need to be weeding our own lives, pulling out the things God didn't intend to be there. And we need to look around this room and consider, who in this room are we planting and watering seeds in? All three, Teo, Avery, and Nora, have planted seeds in the kids of this church. From Sunday school to Wednesday nights to VBS, they've all participated in helping plant and water seeds of faith in those kids. You guys have planted and watered seeds of faith in them. And I want to challenge kids and teenagers, there are other places. Adults, we can have seeds of faith. I know today, seeds of faith were watered in my life by these guys. Seeds of faith were watered by the words of Teo, Avery, and Nora. Look to where you're being watered, but look to where you are watering and you are planting. We need to be invested in one another, and we get the privilege of walking out these doors and planting and watering seeds of faith even when people don't know it. They don't know it. Your interactions at the store, your moments talking to somebody who's struggling and living on the streets, those are opportunities to plant and water seeds of faith. Last week, we had a really cool, was it last week? I think so. We had a really neat experience. We had a young man who had come and done some volunteer time with us. He was struggling. He was battling addiction. He had gone through a lot. And he was supervised, did some supervised service around the outside. And he came back a year later, yes, last week. And he said, I've been clean a year. I've got an apartment. I've got a car. I've got a job. And I just wanted to tell you that I'm doing good. And that's amazing. Guys, that was planting and watering seeds. He just walked in the door and needed a place to serve. This community is planting and watering seeds. Planting and watering seeds of faith in our kids, of faith in our teenagers. We are privileged to plant and water seeds. What seeds are we planting? Where do we need to pull weeds? And where are we watering? It should be here, but it should also be other places. And along with that, that means we have also had seeds planted in us and watered in us